You should have seen the look on Joel Osteen's face. There's protests going on all over the world. Well, parading and shouting and everything else going on around the world. And at Joel Osteen's church, some guys got into his quote-unquote church. And they were forming some sort of protest. This is all over social media. We've just learned there was a protest yesterday at Lakewood Church in Houston, where celebrity Joel Osteen is the pastor. This protest was like no other protest you've witnessed over the past 6 months, because the only thing shouted at Joel Osteen were scriptures. There's a video clip of it. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. I haven't watched it yet, but I can just see Joel Osteen's face. Like, these guys are going, "Hey, Joel, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." And he's going, "What? What was that? What? The wicked shall be turned into hell." What? I don't. What is that? Where is that from? I've never heard that before. Where is that? It's scripture. You need to have these guys removed out of here. They can't be doing that here. Somebody say amen. I'm going to talk about today the Supreme Court ruling on Friday of sodomite marriage in this country. The White House was lit up with the sodomite flag colors. This is sort of an addendum to what I preach Sunday morning. If you have not heard Sunday morning sermon, I can tell you, and I mean this, I cannot take credit for that. I cannot do it. I was putting that together Saturday while laid up in bed with a horrendous back pain, and I was shaking my head doing it, going, this doesn't work. This is not it. And I just, Lord, you just lead, you just do whatever. And God blessed. I'm not kidding you. God blessed. If you have not heard the message, I encourage you to do it. And please, if you like it, give God the glory. If you don't like it, tell God you don't like it, because it was his. It wasn't mine. I guarantee you. But this is going to be an addendum to that. And I've got several things that I'm going to read to you, and we're going to go through the scriptures. We're going to understand that gay flag, that sodomite pride flag, wait till you see what that really is, what it represents. I'm going to show you. And this came to me. Somebody mentioned it to me, I think, right after the church service Sunday morning. And I went, "What did I think of that?" And God always says, "Well, you just did. You heard it from somebody else." So anyway, you got to see this. Let me do this first. This is some good news. Somebody brought this to my attention on Facebook, and there is a young lady, she'll probably be glad I said that, who, she has a teenage son, and let's see here. Let me just kind of read over this. Somebody brought this to my attention, said, "Pastor Mike, this is one of your followers." And I went and checked it out. Sure enough, it was. And I've messaged her back and forth on Facebook on this thing. And she has made big headlines all over the planet, seemingly. There is an ABC News story on her. They actually sent a camera crew out there. She said she's been interviewed by others and so on, and was able to give her testimony and so on. Her name is Keisha. She lives in Birmingham, Alabama. And here's what happened. Let me read the story here. Keisha dropped off her son, daughter, and stepdaughter at the movies. And she mentioned this in a Facebook post early Saturday morning. The son is a teenager. The two girls are 13. And look, naturally, I'm probably missing a sheet of paper here. Hang on here. And yeah, I am. There's no doubt that's already starting out rough. Let me see if I can find it. I posted this whole story on facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online. There, I'm going to click on it, read it from the screen here. But anyway, she dropped her teenage son and her teenage daughter and stepdaughter off at the movies. And apparently, the girls were pretty loud during the film. Let me read this. This was her Facebook post. This is a long shot. This is what Keisha put on Facebook. This is a long shot, but I'm looking for a woman that was at Tannehill premiere tonight seeing Cinderella at 7 p.m. I dropped my teenage daughter, stepdaughter, and son off at the movie. My son later told me, much to my humiliation and embarrassment, that my girls were rude and obnoxious during the movie. The woman I'm looking for addressed them and asked them to be quiet, and they were disrespectful. After the movie, she approached my girls and told them that her husband had been laid off, and this was the last movie she would be able to take her daughter to for a while, and my girls ruined that for her. If you are this woman, please message me. I can assure you that these girls are being strongly dealt with and appropriately punished. This rude, disrespectful, and awful behavior is unacceptable, and they owe you an apology. My husband and I are having them write your apology letter tonight. We would like to pay for your next movie and snacks out of their allowance. Please message me if this is you. I apologize profusely for their disrespect. That's the way, Mom and Dad, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it that way. So here's what happened. Sheriff's Office Sergeant Jack Self saw the post that Keisha put on Facebook, and she didn't know who this woman was. She was just kind of reaching out. If you were that woman, get in touch with me. He shared it on the Jefferson County Sheriff Facebook page. The post generated more than 245,000 likes after the Sheriff's Department asked, "What do you think of the way this local mom is handling this situation?" And added, "Looks like these children have great parents." Self said, "I live in that community. I just felt like if I could put it for a bigger audience, maybe she could find the lady she was looking for." The Birmingham's mom's message spread, and the apparent mystery woman, Rebecca Boyd of Adger, Alabama, left a comment on the sheriff's office post. "I am the mom from the movie theater," Boyd wrote in the comment. "I had taken my daughter to see Cinderella. I was very upset and disappointed in the girl's behavior. The note from their mom brought me to tears and shows there is still good people in the world. I have no hard feelings toward them, and I'm proud of their parents. The girls are not bad. They are children. Glad they are learning a lesson. I hope if my teenagers are out and they act up, I hope someone says something to them." Boyd then contacted Wood. "She's the most gracious, kind, and forgiving woman," told. This is Keisha. "I am so humbled by that. Wood's daughters will write an apology letter to Boyd," according to Wood's Facebook post, "and also contribute some of their allowance, like that, towards the Boyd family's next trip to the movies. My girls are so mortified," Keisha told ABC 33. "They are humiliated, and that's okay because I told them, you know what? You're not going to do this again." The ABC affiliate said the publicity over the story has resulted in support and job offers for Boyd's family. Boyd told ABC News that she'd like to see the girls again. "I believe they're good girls," Boyd said. "They just made some mistakes." And this has gone viral. And kudos to Keisha and her husband and their family. This is how God's people are supposed to be. We're supposed to act this way, privately and publicly. This is what God wants. No doubt in my mind about it. And I messaged Keisha and told her, asked her permission to share this. And I'm going, well, it's all over the news. Surely she'd want me to share it. And she did. And she told me, she said, "You know, every time I started talking about my Christian faith and the joy of the Lord and testimony and everything like that," she said, "I don't know how many interviews, nobody ever mentions it." And the basis of this mom's rearing her children in a polite and mannerly way, the basis of that are the principles given to us in the scriptures. This woman reads the Bible. She messaged me. She said, "We follow your ministry. We appreciate so much what you're doing." This lady believes the Bible. She's trying to raise her children in accordance with the Bible. And those of you who have raised children, you know how hard that is to get these. We like to picture them as little angels with halos on their head. They don't. They got horns growing out of their head. They're little devils. And we're trying to raise them according to the scripture. And that's what she's doing. And when that testimony comes out of her mouth, the people who do these interviews and the editors at newspapers and editors at news organizations, they're going, I can't. They're like Joel Osteen. What are they saying? What is those words coming out of their mouth? Who's this? I heard that Jesus was bad. So anyway, kudos to Keisha and to her family, to the lady, the other lady who was so forgiving. And the message is in this, if you make a mistake or your children make a mistake, and they're going to, and you're going to, fix it. Fix the mistake. Clean up the mess. You did it. Apologize. Anyway, appreciate that. Appreciate her sending that in. As you probably have already found out, lines are being drawn right now in this nation and all over the world. Another Facebook follower, Donna, she posted this the other day, and I think she's in our Facebook group. And I asked her if I could share this, and she said, yeah, and I told her to email it to me, and she did. She said her 16-year-old grandson. Now listen to this. Supreme Court comes out and says sodomites should get married like everybody else does. All of a sudden, and I'm not kidding you. When I was sitting, Lisa and I had just come by the church on Friday. It was Sweetie Pie Day. And we just went by there for a little bit, and I sat down at my desk, and I pulled up. It was actually one of the local affiliates, Fox 2, and I had their app on my phone, and I got an instant alert, and I read it, and I went on my desk. I was mad. I shouted it. And all of a sudden now, people are starting to align themselves. People who say that they are Christian are starting to show their true colors, aren't they? And this is one of probably thousands of stories just like this. 16-year-old grandson, this is Donna, this is what she wrote. My 16-year-old grandson just unfriended me because I asked him to take a post off that he tagged me in about standing with the gays. In other words, the 16-year-old boy tagged his grandmother. In other words, Grandma, I want you to see this. You're in on it. And Grandma says, honey, take me off of that. I don't stand with you. So grandson unfriended Grandma. She says, please pray, and I'm going to withhold the names. Please pray for her, I'm assuming her grandson. My heart is breaking for these unsaved. I gave him scripture and got unfriended. Also pray for our other sisters who take the same stance, plus their mother, my daughter, who is living in fornication. There you go, right there. There you go. What I'm telling you is sodomy is not the root of worse things. Sodomy is the fruit of things that happen earlier. Moms and dads decide that they have little or no regard for marriage simply because of their behavior, either while in, before, or after a marriage. So here is this young boy, 16 years old, and he is being raised in a situation where mom has boyfriends, maybe, I don't know, plural, singular, I don't know. The fact that she's having one in her bed without the blessing and the benefit of marriage sends a signal to 16-year-old grandson, do whatever you want to do with your body. After all, mommy is, and this is how children are being raised. So, 16-year-old grandson sides with those who hate God, hate the Bible. Don't even, the pictures that I've seen so far of the gay pride, not protests, celebrations, don't do it. That's who they side with. So, and rejects God's love, rejects the Bible, rejects God's morality, rejects God's people. Donna says, I'm broken and have tried to show them the way of salvation through Jesus. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Pastor, for all you do for the flock. To God be the glory. Somebody say amen. You and your family always in my prayers. Keep it up. Keep praying for us. Don't stop. Because we're gonna march through this thing. However God leads us to do, that's what we're gonna do. And Donna, again, your story is just like everybody else's story, that when they decide to just come out on the right side with God, at some point, everybody's going to switch to one side or the other. There's not going to be any blurred lines anymore. And is there hope that we can have some decency back in our nation? Here is Judge Roy Moore. Do you remember him? He is the judge down in Alabama that decided to hang a copy of the Ten Commandments in his courthouse, and he had it there for years. I mean, after all, on the door, if I remember right, if I'm understanding this right, it's either the door of the Supreme Court or over the Supreme Court building or the door of Congress or whatever, is a carving of Moses with the Ten Commandments. That's in one of our government buildings, one of the chief government buildings in our nation. There is some sort of monument to Moses holding two tablets in his hands. And the idea is that the Supreme Court traditionally, and the court system of America, has traditionally relied upon the law system that God gave to the Israelites. Our court system, in many ways, is modeled after that. And you just examine this in your mind. Think about the whole court. Think about, let's say that you had charges up against you. Like I did. I had a speeding ticket that they wouldn't let me pay. I had to go to court. So I'm sitting there watching this, and here's an accuser reading off, opening a book, just like in Revelation, opening a book and reading what I had done wrong out for everybody to hear. Mike Hoggard, yay, broke the speed limit. He was really moving, too, that day. And I had to go stand before a judge. And God's showing me all this stuff. And I'm just amazed. But anyway, here is Judge Roy Moore, puts a copy of the Ten Commandments in his courtroom. In his courtroom. The law. And in those Ten Commandments, one of them says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, courts rule on that all the time. Thou shalt not steal. That's a court matter. Thou shalt not kill. That's a court matter. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You're in a court of law. Honor thy father and mother. Those are issues that are dealt with in courts all across America. But Judge Roy Moore could not. They finally, by order, took him out of office, I think. Put him out. And there's some people down in Alabama still got some sense, because then he ran for Supreme Court and he got it. He's the Supreme Court Justice in Alabama. Supreme Court of the United States recently issued a monumental ruling declaring equal marriage rights and benefits for same-sex couples all across the nation. And let me say this. Don't be fooled for a minute or even 30 seconds or even 18 and a half seconds. Don't be fooled that long in thinking that these people really want a long-term monogamous relationship between two men or two women that will last as long as male and female marriages last 40, 50, 60, sometimes 70 years. Don't think for 15.2 seconds that that's what they want. That's not what they want. What they want are the money benefits that come as a result of that. Insurance premiums or insurance payoffs, healthcare from corporations. They want government money. It's about money, and it's about breaking the bands that bind them. That's what it's about. None of these sodomite marriages are going to last. None of them. Why? because these people have shown that they are already perverted and skewed in their mind, and they don't see marriage the way you and I see marriage. They don't see it that way. And it's not going to last. So anyway, Judge Roy Moore decides he's going to step in. Same-sex couples in Alabama will have to hold on and wait a few weeks before proceeding with their nuptials, thanks to an order issued by the Alabama Supreme Court. Court issued an order on Monday that essentially prohibits probate judges in the state from issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples for 25 days. This has effectively stalled the Supreme Court's gay marriage ruling in Alabama while providing time for interested parties to file motions and petitions contesting the ruling. I hope that Missouri does the same thing. 80% to 20%. We voted an amendment to our Constitution, states' rights, that says marriage is defined between a male and a female. According to Chief Justice Roy Moore, basically it states that in the court's judgment, the Supreme Court ruling is tabled effective until the hearing before the Alabama Supreme Court. You just pray that there is still, and I believe there is, I believe there's still some people in this country, even if they're lost, that know this is not right and know this is not good for the country. And the message that I preached Sunday morning, it was not doom and gloom. It was not, oh, we might as well. Did anybody bring Kool-Aid for us to drink? It wasn't that. It was, wow, what a time we live in. Can you imagine that the very words that God spoke 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, can you believe that the very words that the God of heaven spoke and we have preserved for us in our Bibles are actually coming to life and coming to pass in our lifetime right in front of our very eyes? I went through all the emotions that everybody else did. I was angry. I wanted to rise up. I wanted to shoot something. Not someone, something. I wanted to shoot something. And then I'm just going, you know what? God called us to this day, to live at this time, to see these things come to pass so that we could be salt and light to this earth. And so, oh, I don't want to say this. Bring it on, devil. Bring it on. You might have had power over our flesh, but you don't have jack on our soul. The Holy Ghost has us. The Word of God, Jesus Christ. We will prevail. Revelation 19. Here it comes. Now, get ready. Already, I don't even say liberals. The occult infested churches are already, I got to read this. This is from CBN. You know what that is? Christian Broadcasting Network. Pat Robertson. This is an article from the CBN staff writer Michael Plemons called The Divine Spark. Me a little bit there. And he goes on about, you know, all the unsettling things that are going on in the world, and the gay marriage, and the crippling financial things that are going on everywhere, and how it's doom and gloom, and it's bad, and it's out of control. And then he said, that's all to 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs to set you up. Four paragraphs to set you up to receive his little message about that. Listen to what he says. I speak today of the divine spark. Jesus Christ told us this. Now, stop right here. Stop. Open up your King James Pure Bible Search software. Type in the phrase divine spark and find that in your King James Bible. Type in the exact phrase divine spark and search for it in the King James Bible. Is it in there? Nope. It's not in there. Jesus Christ, this is what he says. Jesus told his disciples on the night before his death that God had a purpose and a plan. He was God in the flesh, and he had demonstrated to the world that day the heart and passion of his Father. His hands healed the sick and brought deliverance to the tortured souls and minds of the desperate. His message was one of compassion and understanding. The world of that day had a very different concept of God. The false gods of that day presented quite a different picture than that demonstrated by the meek, gentle love and compassion of this Nazarene from Galilee. Yet Jesus had a purpose and a plan. He was on a divine mission. To fulfill this mission would cost him the ultimate price, and on and on and on and on. So then he says, whatever any of us face in our lives, Jesus died that we... Now listen to this. Now here we go. Setting up, building a little platform for you. Jesus died that we might, by our faith in him, receive within our hearts that divine spark of God's life and nature. That's a lie. That's not what it is. Let's see what else is in here. It was his and it was and is the plan of God to transform the human heart from the inside out. When we give our lives to him, he not only forgives our sins, but also places that divine spark of his life and nature within us. Listen to me, people. The deceptions are there. The Decepticons are taking over. This is, like I say, this is from CBN. This is Pat Robertson's show, the 700 Club and Christian Broadcasting Network, teaching everybody about a concept that shows up nowhere in the Bible, but it is in the Kabbalah. Here we are, once again, dealing with Jewish mysticism. We're dealing with doctrines that are being taught that are not biblical. I'm surprised he didn't say, once we have this divine spark in us, we shall rise like a phoenix from the ashes of this terrible world we live in, blah, blah, blah. That's probably the next article he's going to write, or somebody else will write it. But the thing about Shekinah, I gotta go back to this. Here's Jim Staley, who's going to be sentenced to next month, July. Here's Jim Staley teaching on his skewed version of the Godhead, saying that here's God the Father on one side of the Sephiroth, the Kabbalah tree of life, and here is, or he says Yahweh, and there he says Shekinah, which is the feminine aspect of God. None such exists. The feminine aspect of God, and he calls that the Holy Spirit. And when God and Shekinah mash together, they create Yeshua, who is the perfect fulfillment of both male and female in his one body. And I'm just going, no, sorry, that's not how it is. That your Bible doesn't teach that. The Jewish rabbis do. The sages that Staley and others have studied. That's where this divine spark comes from. That's where the Shekinah comes from. And all these doctrines creeping into the church. Everybody's setting it up now. Get ready. Let me throw this at you, too. Mainstream media, just like Keisha said, mainstream media not wanting to deal with Jesus Christ, not wanting to deal with someone who did something good, who gives the credit to the Lord Jesus. I'll never forget. 1999? St. Louis Rams, Kurt Warner comes out of throwing paper towel rolls in grocery stores. And all of a sudden now he's the head quarterback for the St. Louis Rams. And all season long, every time a microphone gets under his mouth, he starts talking about the Lord Jesus and giving Jesus the praise. And I'm just going, yeah! And he had an outstanding... I've never seen anybody in my lifetime throw a football like that. And so they win the Super Bowl. And they've got Kurt Warner standing there, and the little guy with the microphone is going to interview Kurt, and I'm sure the producers have already told this little guy with the microphone, cut him off. He starts in with that Jesus stuff, steer him off, cut him off, do whatever. Don't let him start talking about that. And so the little guy with the microphone standing there in front of Kurt Warner with a big smile on his face. And he says, Kurt, first things first. Tell us about what you were thinking after the halftime. And Kurt's just smiling from ear to ear, shaking his head going, no, first things first. I want to give glory to Jesus. Amen. And they don't like that. They hate it. They hate Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Turn there. Listen, I'm telling you, you're seeing this world through Bible glasses. And you can, when you put the Bible glasses on, you can see a whole lot better than everybody else can. You can see afar off, like Peter said. The kings of the earth, Psalm 2, verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, it's from the news media. It's from the politicians. It's from the corporate executives. It's from the Hollywood gang. It's from the singers and the rappers and the drum beaters. And it's even from some of the ministers. They don't want you talking about Jesus. Practically everybody that goes to a Bilderberg meeting comes back and says, don't talk about Jesus. So Keisha, that's why they shut you down, sister. You just hang in there and you just keep doing the stuff. Here is a story that came out. I thought it was a hoax. And that's just me. When I see stuff roll through Facebook or social media, or I get it in an email, and I'm just going, okay, what kind of hoax is this? Because surely this can't be true. But what happened? I don't know if you saw this or not. It's all over social media. A youth party in Taiwan went horribly wrong last night, and this happened a couple days ago, as a special effect consisting of huge clouds of rainbow-colored glitter. Guess what the party was all about in Taiwan? Sodomy marriage in America. They're celebrating all over the world. And they were holding this sodomy event. And if you think that's like going to a Baptist tea party or a Sunday after church dinner, you're crazy. So they're there at this Taiwan gay party. And a special effect where they're going to have these rainbow-colored glitter particles launched into the air and then fall down all over the... It's like stars falling. Remember? In fact, I'm getting something in here. Let me read this to you and see if you get it. So you have all these rainbow particles falling down from the sky. That was the effect. That was the plan. It's what they wanted. To the shock and horror of everyone, the metallic glitter ignited, raining down a firestorm of death upon hundreds of attendees who were engulfed in the flames. The lying leftist media, this is the article I'm reading, to admit, they're ashamed to admit that this was a gay pride event. But as the photos show, and I'm not showing you the photos, it was sponsored by an openly gay organization, and some of this stuff I'm not even going to read. So there was this sodomite celebration party. They shot up these hundreds of thousands of little multicolored particles to symbolize the gay rainbow, the gay bow. And as these things are falling down, they ignite. Think about it. These flames, fire is falling down from heaven on these people. And I think it killed how many? It is currently estimated that at least 458 people were injured, and some of them have critical injuries. These people were burned. It's disgusting. And nobody's mentioning this. They might say, well, they were having a youth celebration, but nobody's saying that they were having a sodomite party celebrating gay marriage, and all of a sudden the fire of God fell down from heaven on them. Sounds a little bit too much like Sodom and Gomorrah, so we can't be saying that either. Now, got some slides to show you. We're going to have Slide Day Tuesday. I mentioned in a tweet in about an hour and a half ago. I came in here, again, this is one of those days I come in, I have no idea what I'm doing. I had made some notes yesterday. Some people sent me some things, the Keisha story and all this stuff. And I've got a ton of articles that I wanted to go through today, and none of them are going to make it up. So I put them on Facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online, and you can view them there. There's some interesting stuff going on with technology, and even like 2 seconds before I'm supposed to focus on the show, Donna, the software lady, sends me more articles, and I'm just going, good grief. There is stuff going on every day in electronics and technology and biology, and it's escalating. It is escalating, the amount of profound inventions that are being made right now by mankind. And it brings to mind 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. And I saw a video the other day. I thought it was cool. Today I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going, okay, I think I know what that is. The Chinese are the ones who invented firecrackers. And when I was a boy, we used to just untie them, put them all in a bag, and light them one at a time and throw them. That's what we did. Not the safest thing to do. Children, don't listen to Uncle Mikey here. But that's what we did. Very seldom did we ever waste a package of firecrackers by lighting the whole thing and having them go on. We never did that. One at a time. So you can extend the fun. I saw a video the other day, and I'm going, this is cool. There's a whole village somewhere in China, somewhere, I don't know, one of these Eastern nations, whole town where they clear everybody out of the street. They lay probably millions of firecrackers all tied together out in the street. And I mean, we're talking, I don't know, maybe 75, 80, 100 yards worth of firecrackers, and you light one. And then what you see is one ignites, and then two, and then there's a dozen. And then all of a sudden there's 100, then all of a sudden there's 1,000, then all of a sudden there's 100,000 firecrackers all going off at once. And I'm going, that's like the divine spark thing, or that's like what Ray Kurzweil said it was going to happen with technology. There's going to be a firecracker go off. It's going to get everybody's attention. And then two or three of them is going to go off. And then before long, it's going to escalate so rapidly and so quickly. It's going to stagger our minds. That's the time we're living in right now. Anyway, those stories, Facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online. You can slash Pastor Mike Online right in half. Let me show you this. Somebody sent me this today, and I wasn't sure if I was going to use it yet, and then I got to looking at it. And they said, Pastor Mike, check this out. 212 degrees. And they're having a 200. This is one of those Bible Christian conferences. We want to be a catalyst. Now think about that. That's fire. A catalyst is what's on the end of a match. And a catalyst is what gets things burning. A cigarette lighter is a catalyst. All right. Or if you want to break it down more than that, you have the fluid inside of a lighter and it's just sitting there and it does nothing. Until you release the gas, and then a little thing hits the little piece of flint. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And all of a sudden you have a cigarette lighter. That's the catalyst. And here's one of these conferences now, spreading the news that the divine spark is about ready to blow up in everybody's faces and burn everybody. That's what this is about. Go watch the. I did a 3-part series. Just finished it. This week is the last one. Starting a new series next week, and I don't know which one is going to be yet. So just pray. All right. But anyway, the fire from heaven, and here this guy's talking about 212 degrees. Somebody send me an email. I don't know. Somebody who can text me and tell me what 212 degrees is. I think it's boiling point for water, but I'm not sure. So maybe you can send me that, all right? But it's about transformation, 212 degrees, the point where change happens. I think we've already had enough change from Barack Obama. But here's what got my attention. The logo up here, redemption, where many pluribus become uno. E pluribus unum, where many become the one. setting up for the Antichrist people, and they start talking about flames and fire and lighting things and igniting things and everything else. We're not talking about Bible Christianity anymore. We're talking about the fire coming down from heaven, a fiery revival or whatever you want to call it, that's going to light men's faces on fire and turn them all into phoenixes. And when they wake up and come out of that, they're going to be transformed. That's what we're talking about. And we're living in a day right now. Do you remember this Newsweek headline? This goes back to 2012, where they're touting Barack Hussein as the first gay president. Now, there are internet rumors that I don't believe. I'm not saying they're not believable. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't right now believe them because I don't have hard evidence. There was a story that came out that said the church that Barack attended in Chicago had a gay underground in it. Could very well be. Might very well be. One doesn't equal the other. You don't have pictures of Barack and another guy. You don't have that. There's this stuff about Michelle being a tranny, all this stuff. I have no idea. We don't know. But look at the symbolism here. Depicting Barack the Christ. And I want you to focus now. Those of you listening to Watchman FM in Maralal, Kenya, look directly at the center of your FM dial. You won't see what I'm seeing, but just kind of visualize this. A picture of Barack Hussein Obama with a multicolored rainbow halo around his head. Now, what I'm going to tell you is that is in your King James Bible. It is. I'm going to jump ahead. I've got this going to come up here in a little bit. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Uno. Ezekiel is the 26th book in your Bible. There are 26 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And what's interesting is you have these four angels. I just thought of something. This is pretty cool. You have these four angels, four cherubs in Ezekiel chapter 1. Think of four base pairs. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Those are the four base pairs that in certain combinations make up the letters of the DNA book. All right. And I just kind of thought of this. The four living creatures, the four beasts, the four angels, their wings. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. There's a guy who went around all over the world taking pictures of butterfly wings because he kept finding letters and numbers on their wings. He did. You go look it up. Type in butterfly alphabet and you'll see it. It's the neatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I was talking to Gail Ripplinger one time about this. And I said, Gail, you got to like this. 26th book of the Bible. There's 26 letters in the English alphabet. And it says here in Ezekiel chapter 1, concerning their wings, and their wings made a noise. I can't find it, but it talks about in here that the wings, that when they flapped their wings and the noise that came out of the wings was like the noise. Oh, here it is in verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. And I'm just going, that's cool. That is absolutely cool. 26 letters, Hebrew alphabet. Here we have the 26th book of the Bible, and it talks about four angels beating their wings together. When they beat their wings together and they do their flying thing, it sounds like the voice of God, a spoken voice of God. And there is a picture of this in the natural world. Crickets and cicadas and other creatures will with their wings and make their sound. Isn't that cool? This Bible is awesome. But think about the connection here. The four living creatures, the four cherubs and their wings. And when their wings do their thing, it has the voice of the Almighty God like speech. And you have four base pairs that when they do their thing, you have the letters of a book that writes out the members of the body. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I wasn't done. Focus now on the rainbow. The rainbow halo over Barack Hussein's head. In verse 26, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Think about it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire. Think about it. And it had brightness round about. And look at verse 28. Here it is. And as the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a rainbow with many colors. As the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. Look at your Newsweek article here. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Look at this. Look at it. You're seeing here an abomination. Putting Barack Hussein's head here with what the Bible says is the image of the glory of the Lord round about it. That's a desecration, is what that is. This came out in 2012, calling Barack the first gay president. Now, I'm sure the article probably said something like, he has done more for the gay agenda than even Walter Mondale or whatever. Okay. Is he gay? I have no idea. And in 6 years, 7 years of him being president, he's never come out saying, I'm gay man. Never said that. Okay. But look at what he has accomplished. Look at what has happened under his rule, under him. Look at Deepak Chopra. I remember this like it was yesterday. Deepak Chopra writing a little article before Barack Hussein became president in 2008 while he was still running. And Chopra said he's going to be president. Why? Because Barack Hussein Obama represents a fundamental transformation of our nation. And he was exactly right, people. He was dead on. Our nation now, and I preach this Sunday morning, got to see it. Our nation is not Mayberry, USA anymore. It's not houses with unlocked doors anymore. It's not sitting out on the front porch drinking iced tea and playing guitars anymore. It's not that anymore. It has become a dangerous place. It has become a hated place. And it has become a place of wicked immorality that is running right over the very biblical fabric of our nation. Then they top it off with imagery like this. And I'm going to show you. This is what we're talking about today. I talked about this. Mentioned this, Pastor Michael Online, Watchman Broadcast. I've mentioned it in a sermon. This Grace Point Church of Nashville, Tennessee. Their pastor comes out. It's this guy here. He said he had a divine wind tell him, a divine wind told him that it was okay to be gay, that they were going to allow sodomites to be members of their church. And so, instead of going to church, I'm assuming, they go out into the street wearing the colors. I want you to focus now on these colors now, okay? I want you to focus on that. Think about it. Wearing these colors and with a banner saying, God is proud of you, Grace Point Church. Now, let me tell you something. This man is going to fill his church. If there was empty seats before, there will not be afterward. And he and this church are going to have large sums of money contributed to it. Large sums. For being on the forefront, for being outspoken, for going along with the agenda. They are going to reward this man well. And that's what Jezebel does. She pays her guys very well, takes very good care of her boys. And probably the motivation for this pastor coming out saying, I've got a divine wind now. I've got a divine wind. Let's see, what would a divine wind sound like? Does it sound like that? Let's see here. What else would a divine wind sound like? No, no. Anyway, he's got a divine... here we go. He hears a voice, and a divine wind tells him, open up and be inclusive to transgendered people and lesbians and sodomites and invite them all in. And so he either does it for the money. And I'm telling you, he's going to get rich off of this. Or he's doing it to excuse his own sinfulness. One or the other. The Holy Spirit did not enlighten this guy to come out and announce to the world what God really wanted and how the Bible writers got it and the fundamentalist preachers got it all wrong. That's not what he's doing. He's doing this either for financial gain or as an excuse for his own immorality or both. But he's not on the same, I'll say it this way, he's not on the same side I'm on. I know that for a fact. And so this is what's going on. Now, in Exodus chapter 16, take your Bible, turn there. I want you to turn your Bible to Exodus 16. Just because I put it up on the screen doesn't mean anything, because I wanted you to make some notes on this. Exodus 16 is cool. It is an awesome place in the Bible. It's where manna was introduced. And I want you to... I saw something today. When I come in here, didn't have any idea I was going to be doing this. And I saw something today and I went, wow, look at that. Where do you see it? Wait till you see it. Little composure here. Exodus 16, verse 4. Let me set this up. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from you for you from heaven. That's the kind of rain I want. I want bread from heaven. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And I want to tell you something. God is proving you people. And isn't that manifest? Right now. Think about it. Right now. Friday comes out. Supreme Court. It's okay to marry them. Go ahead. I command thee. Marry those people. And then now we're seeing God's proving ground, aren't we? We're seeing the fake phony Christians being separated from the real ones. And we're even seeing people that we know for a fact are not saved, are not born again. And they're saying, you know what? Stop right here. That's wrong. I mean, I may drink and me and my girlfriend run around. That is not right. I think we still have a mission field, people. I still think there are people out there that have not been turned over yet. That can still be reached. It's not over. I think it's just starting. I think the preaching is just now starting in America. I really do. And so anyway, God's proving us right now who we are, how we are. I got to say this. I got to throw this in here. Brother Ron DeGonia. I'm going to try to contact him to cover me while I'm in Kenya. You listen to this man. He has got some good sense. He's been around. He knows some stuff. He believes in King James. I love him. I love it how he preaches. He came to our church here a few weeks ago. There's a church in this county that wanted him to come preach for them. They have a music minister that he knows. He's known him for years. The music minister... They said he's very gifted, he can put stuff together, and he's just very talented. The music minister of a, listen to me now, a Southern Baptist church. A church that, and I know they're not all like this. Neither are all independent churches like this. Neither are all... This church, apparently they believe that you bow at an altar, repeat the prayer, and then you can be a sodomite and go to heaven because you said the prayer and that's it. And I know not every church believes that. That's out of hell. That's a setup. Because here this church now knows that their music minister is a practicing sodomite. And they just love him. I'm telling you, God is proving us right now, isn't he? He said, and how's he doing it? With the bread that comes down from heaven, the word of God. See, that's it, right? That's the proving ground right there. You're going to believe that book? You're going to live by that book? You're going to trust and rely on that book alone? Or are you going to follow after your grandchildren? You're going to follow after your sons or your daughters or your family members. My goodness, we live in a time right now where just about every family's got a sodomite in it. Somebody they got to go to the wedding now. Somebody they got to get a wedding gift for them. Somebody that comes to all their family functions. And they got to bring whoever they're with that week. They got to bring them with them. And we got to keep our mouths shut because, well, we don't want to hurt the family's feelings. I'm telling you, follow the Bible, people. If you want to love them, love them. If you want to witness to them, witness to them. But you don't have to go along with what they're doing. God's proving right now, on the basis of this bread that came down from heaven, I'm going to see whether you're going to walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. By the way, that's the double portion of the Holy Spirit that Israel's going to get. Isn't it cool? Anyway, Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the what? You're going to see the what? The glory of the Lord. And what does the glory of the Lord look like according to Ezekiel chapter 1? Looks like a rainbow. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? So then he says in verse 10, and it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. I love that. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Do you know why? Let's count. Genesis, 50 chapters. Add 16 chapters to 50 chapters. What do you get? Some of you in California have to work on that a little bit. You might have to ask Google or Siri. You get 66. This chapter, with the appearance of the bread from heaven and the glory of the Lord appearing in a cloud, is in the 66th chapter of the Bible. 66 books in the Bible. You don't get it? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that neat? Doesn't that excite you that it's right there? Now watch this now. Genesis chapter 9. Think about what the glory of the Lord looks like. It looks like a rainbow. Where is it? I don't have it here. There it is. Looks like a rainbow. That's what the glory of the Lord looks like. And here you have the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Genesis 9. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. That's what Israel saw. The glory of the Lord in the cloud. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it. that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And I want you to think about this for a minute, all right? Let's switch out of here. Everybody look at me. Look at me. Look right here. God said, he kept using the word token. It's a token. It's a token. It's a sign. It's like on a contract. If you're being taken into court over something, over a disagreement, and the judge says, is there a contract? And you say, no, I never signed no contract. And all of a sudden the other party says, Your Honor, I have a contract here, and it's got his sign on it. His token. The judge looks at it and says, you dirty liar, you. You signed this contract. You put your token, your mark, your approval. You put your sign on that. Do you see? That's what that's talking about. And he kept using this phrase over and over, a token. It's going to be a token. It's going to be a token of a sign. I'm signing the cotton here. Whenever you see the bow in the cloud, man, I want to cry. Whenever you see that bow in the cloud, that's me signing my name. I keep my promise. I made a contract. I made a covenant that I would never do this ever again. And every time you see that rainbow in the cloud, I just signed my name right there. And you know what gets me? Let me put this back up. That's what gets me. That's what gets me right there. God signed that because it repented the Lord that he had done this. What did he do? He destroyed everything off of the face of the earth. Why did he do it? Because of their wickedness. And even a church has the audacity to drag the token, the signature of Almighty God, drag it through the swamp of Sodom. But I love that. I love this teaching. I love what it's. In fact, do this. Do this. Think now. Guess who that bow is? Guess who it is? Okay? Turn to Revelation. I don't think I have these up on the screen. If I do, we'll read them again. They're worth reading. Revelation chapter 1. Oh, I love this. If you have it, I know I taught this before, but I just like doing it again. It's like reading the Bible all over again. You're going to get something out of it again the next time. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is standing there, and he appears before John, and I'm going to have to look this up. I'm going to have to probably read this whole thing. Yeah, here it is in verse 6, or verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. In Matthew chapter 24, turn there. See, he's telling you. In fact, let's, on our way back to Matthew, let's go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's about ready to leave them, and he goes up in a cloud. It says, verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, we had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He went up in a cloud. How is he coming back? In a cloud. He's coming in the clouds. Matthew chapter 24. You can look at Mark 13 and Luke 21, and they'll say the same thing. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Think of the stars falling from heaven. Think of this Taiwan sodomite little party they were having, little get-together, nude get-together they were having out there. And all of a sudden, this rainbow glitter, stars catch on fire and start falling from the heavens and burning them all up. I kind of picture Todd Bentley there going, yes, amen, receive it in Jesus' name. But anyway, in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, the sign, the token, the signature. You shall see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I love this. So now, take your Bible, turn to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. You want to see a picture of the second coming? Look at the first coming. In Luke chapter 2, you know what that is, don't you? That's when Jesus comes. That's the advent of Christ. Luke chapter 2 in verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in what? Swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. She took him, she wrapped him and swaddled him in swaddling garments, swaddling clothes. Well, why did the Bible go out of its way to mention that? Why does it have to tell you that? Well, when the angels and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, when the angels said, for unto you born, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, a token, a sign. It's the sign of the Son of Man coming. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It's the sign, people. The swaddling clothes were the sign, the clouds. You say, I don't get it. Turn to Job. Or for those of you down in Alabama, Job. Okay? Turn to the book of Job. Oh, let's see here. Job 39. Is that where it is? No, Job 38. And Job 38, verse, let's say verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. So he's telling Job about the earth, how he made the earth. And then he said, verse 8, who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it issued out of a womb? Seawater comes out of a womb. Did you know that? Did you know that every baby human born into this world is born out of seawater? Salt water is what it is, uterine water. And in verse 9, when I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, the swaddling band for it. Look at that. Look at that. King James Bible is the only Bible in the world you're going to get that from. Mary was wrapping Jesus in a sign and a token of the cloud. He came in the clouds. He was coming in the clouds. That was the sign. And here he is in swaddling clothes. And God told Job that the clouds are the swaddling band of the earth. And so here is Mary showing the sign, the token of the bow in the cloud, the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud at his first coming when he's born. That makes me, it hurts me. It hurts me to see them drag that beautiful, wonderful sign through the swamp of Sodom. I hate that. I hate everything about it. So think about this glory of the Lord now. In Ezekiel chapter 1, we already read this. Let's read it again. Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. By the way, I just was thinking about the language here. Above the firmament that was over their heads. I want you to notice this. These four cherubs are the chariot of God. That's what the Bible says. The chariots of God are 10,000, even 1,000, or 20,000, even thousands of angels. God literally rides in a chariot, but it's a chariot of cherubs, angels. And the firmament that his throne sits on does not sit even with the chariot or the wheels or the cherubs. It doesn't sit even with them. It sits above them. God literally is the Most High. Look at that. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And I want to tell you something. When you see that, you're going to fall on your face. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. The devil's not going to win this, people. He doesn't already have so much control that it's all over for us. Let's start packing food up. Let's load our weapons. Let's take over the government. It's not over. What God has commissioned and called us to do, I don't think we've seen yet. I think we're about to see it, though. Everybody's wanting a purpose in life. Well, guess what? You just inherited one as of Friday. And if all you do is just make it known on social media or amongst your family, look, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I follow the Word of God, and the Word of God says, and quote scripture for them, and say, I love you, but I cannot go along with this. This is wrong. You don't have to worry about running them off. I guarantee you, when that window blind comes open of you and they see the light of the gospel inside of you, they'll either be attracted to it or they'll run like little cockroaches, because they don't like the light and they won't like you. The only way that you're going to get them to like you is if they are in line to be saved, or you just keep that little light shut. If you want peace at the next family reunion, keep your mouth shut about what the Supreme Court did Friday. And you think about what you're doing, too. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Look at this! Look at this! Where are we supposed to, Jesus, it's like Jesus said, now, I'm going to be coming, and I want you to meet me. Where do you want to meet us, Lord? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll appear in the clouds, and when you see me appear in the clouds, you'll come and meet me there. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here is the Lord appearing in the clouds, and we're meeting him there with all the dead in Christ that have risen first. That's beautiful. It's our transformation. We're looking at another transformation, aren't we? Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. Man, Isaiah 42:8. Now look at this. Look at this. Let me get quickly over to it here. Let's see if I can do it. Like, here we go. Look at that. I want you to think about that as you look at this. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The glory of the Lord is what's in that cloud, that rainbow. And God said, that's my glory, and I'm not giving it to anybody. John, and here's Jesus' last, his famous prayer that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here's where he called him Holy Father. And he wasn't speaking to Francis the talking. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Let's just think about it. Lord, put that bow back on me. And when I rise up in the cloud and when people see me, they're going to see the glory of the Lord in the cloud. That's going to be the sign, Father. Give me that glory that I had with thee before the world was. And by the way, all the stupid people out there, that even Finis Dake makes me so mad, that want to say that Jesus wasn't really the Son of God before he was born in Bethlehem. It's stupid. It's a lie. It doesn't take into account numbers of scripture, including this one. And now, O Father, glorify thou with me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. God's always been the Father. Jesus has always been the Son, and the Holy Spirit's always been the Holy Spirit. And I just don't like God's people being lied to, and I don't like God's people lying. And we do it. Anyway, let me move on. Anyway, that glory is symbolized by that bow that's in the cloud. So, Revelation 10, verse 1. I believe in with all my heart that this right here in Revelation 10 is speaking of Christ. I saw another mighty angel. You say, it wasn't Jesus. He's not an angel. How dare you say that? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. God told Moses, and Moses told the people that God was going to send an angel, capital A, look it up. He's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He's the angel of the Lord that appeared in the bush that was on fire but was not consumed. That's who he is. Jesus actually holds the chief title of every office that you see in the Bible. There are bishops, he's the chief bishop. There are shepherds, he's the chief shepherd. There are priests, he's the high priest. There are prophets, he is the prophet. There are angels, he is the angel of the Lord, capital A. Still God, still fully man, but the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, the mediator, the heavenly mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We are men, he's the man. Amen. We are all of Adam. He was of the Father. He's the second Adam. I mean, he's the chief apostle. You name an office that God has elected men to have on this earth, and he is the head of all of them. If there are kings, he's the king of kings. If there are lords, he's the lord of lords. If there are princes on this earth, he's the prince of peace in heaven. So anyway, he's the angel coming down from heaven. And he's clothed with what? What is he clothed with? What is he wearing? What is his swaddling band? What is his garment? He's wearing clouds. And a rainbow was upon his... Oh, I got to show it to you again. I hate it. But here it is. Look at that verse. And a rainbow was upon his head. And I'll tell you what. We're living in interesting times, people. We're living in times where we are literally seeing the fulfillment of this Bible right in front of our very eyes. Now more than ever, God's people in God's book, the way he intended it to be. The rainbow was upon his head. And you have to think about something. If this is not Jesus, if it's not Jesus, and the rainbow is the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and God said he would not share his glory with another, and yet Jesus said, Father, share with me the glory that you shared with me before the world was. to me, the scripture cannot be broken. And you have, if this is not Jesus, then what you have is an angel who is bearing upon his head something that God said he would never share with anybody except his son. Now, I know this idea of Jesus being here in Revelation 10, that doesn't match some of your charts. But let's just be honest with what the Bible says. By the way, his face was as it were the sun. Was there ever a place in the Bible where somebody had their face shining like the sun? It was so bright people couldn't look at it, so they'd put a veil over it. Yeah, that was Moses. Let's see, Jesus ever? Yeah, that'd be him. That would be. Was the sun ever spoken of as being God? Yeah, Malachi, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Think about that one. Think about it. How many pillars of fire did God lead the Israelites through an earthly wilderness to an earthly promised land? One. This comes down with two of them. Remember the double portion they gathered on the sixth day? Remember the double portion of the Spirit that Elisha was going to have? Remember you have two parts of your Bible, Old and New Testament? The Old Testament is what led the Old Testament people through an Old Testament wilderness to an Old Testament promised land. And now he comes to lead them with two pillars of fire. I love this stuff. By the way, I just read today in Exodus 14, when God brought Pharaoh over to where the Israelites were, and here's the Israelites at the shore of the Red Sea, and here's Pharaoh who's wanting to kill him, and God put the pillar of fire there in front of Pharaoh. The Bible specifically says, you go read it, Exodus 14 specifically says that the cloud, the fire, the fiery pillar was giving light to the Israelites, but it was total darkness to Pharaoh and his armies. Isn't that how it works? Pharaoh should have went, oh no, not again. This darkness thing, I hate this thing. His heart was already turned. And by the way, he had his hand in a little book open. Revelation chapter 5, Jesus took that book out of God's hand and opened it up. And now you see somebody who's clothed with a cloud and a face shining in the sun, and they got God's glory on their head and their feet are like pillars of fire. And remember what God said. Remember what God said to Moses. He said, Moses, tell the people, you're not going to lead them into this land. I'm going to send mine angel to lead them into this land. And he cried with a loud voice as when a who? As when a who? Who roareth? A centipede? No. A kitty cat? No. A lion. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. You know who that is? That's God's voice. Go look at thunders in the Bible. The Lord thundered down upon them. That's his voice. That's how it sounds. Okay? But here you have the angel who has the rainbow on his head. And his name is not Barak. But I'll show you something. That image has already been defiled long before Barak showed up. Here's a Masonic emblem. This goes way back. And I want you to think about what we just read. Mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Rainbow was on his head. His face shining like the sun. His feet as pillars. Look at here. Okay? And in his loins here, here's a globe of the earth and a globe of the stars. It's heaven and earth coming together. And see these weird, he's got one hand held up and one hand held down. The little things here in this is called the Lewis key. And it's a way that stonemasons could lift very, very large, heavy stones and hoist them into place And everybody would stand back and wonder how in the world they were able to get that stone in place. They would notch a little notch in here and put some sort of like metal hook or something like that in there, something that people couldn't see. And that's how they did it. Anyway, the Lewis key is about two things on the outside and one thing in the middle. I mean, that's what the Lewis key is. All right. I didn't describe it right, but that's the symbolism of it. It's pretty cool. Let me illustrate it like this. The Masons would take in the top of a stone, a big heavy stone, they would notch out a hollow that was like this little part of a triangle here. All right. Now, if you just had a single metallic triangle, you couldn't put that down into the hollow that the mason carved out of the stone because it wouldn't fit because the opening is narrower than the bottom is. So some guy figured this out. You take that little piece of metal and you divide it into three parts. You take this part and slide it in, push it over to the right. You take this part, slide it in, push it over to the left. And then you put the one down the middle. That's the key. That's the key that binds the two halves together. That's why it's a very important Masonic emblem. It's like a keystone. It's what the keystone is what holds the what? The Royal Arch, which looks an awful lot like a rainbow. Guess who this is? This is not Jesus, is it? This is another Jesus, is who this is. And it follows the same symbolism as you see in Revelation 10 here. Cue the music. Check this out. Here is the rainbow, the Royal Arch of Masonry. Only their rainbow doesn't have multicolors in it. It has black, white, black, white, black, white, black, white. Is it okay for me to mention the fact that Barack Hussein did not have both parents the same color? One was black and one was white. Black, white, black, white, black, white. And this rainbow joins the sun and the moon, the father, the mother, pater, mater, that's what that stands for. Then you have the four pieces of the elemental magic. You have earth, air, fire, and water. These are opposites. You have Sirius, you have the heavens and seven stars, and you have Inferius here. You have the inferno, which is or earth, and they're all joined together by the key here. And see these little ivies? That's DNA. Two strands of DNA. Look at it. And it's just unbelievable. And yet, we know what the Bible says, and we don't have a problem in the world believing these things. Now, I'm going to show you this. Let's go back to this, okay? Look at the colors. Think about what we've been setting up for you here. The idea that this rainbow is God's glory, and they have taken God's glory and given it to another. I want you to think about that. So guess who this rainbow represents? It's not Christ. It's Antichrist. His coming is after the working of Satan with all power and lying signs and wonders. And it also, and we've already seen it here, that the Antichrist coming is like the antithesis of Jesus coming. I mean, think about it. You have the promise of a child being born with Jesus and the fact that a child was born, who is called the Prince of Peace. You have another child born in the Scriptures who is not the Prince of Peace. He represents... Get ready. Get ready. Another child that was born, and I talked about this Sunday, that his name is Ichabod because his name means the glory departed. Now, cue the music. So, this imagery of the rainbow surrounded by all these people. You know what you're looking at? And some of you are going, yeah, I'm looking at people wearing rainbow t-shirts. Let me show you from the Bible what you're looking at. You ready? You ready? Let me do it. Let me hit the button now. Let me show it to you now. You ready? Here we go. Count of three. One, two, two and a half. Two, here we go. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a what? Look at there. Look at there. Look at there. Great a cloud of witnesses. Guess what? When Jesus appears, and you and I and my dad and my grandbaby and all my ancestors that died in the Lord, and all your people that died in the Lord, and the Apostle Paul and all their dead bodies, they're going to come up out of the graves, and we're going to meet them where? In the cloud of witnesses. Here's Jesus coming, and he has with him a cloud of witnesses. In fact, when Jesus dispatched us to the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, ye shall be my witnesses. So here Jesus appears, and he's compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And it does, doesn't it? We are so quick to sin. I've described it like, you know, covetousness. Covetousness. I mean, it may take a guy a pretty good while to work himself up to going to cheat on his wife. But covetousness takes place in less than 3 seconds. It so easily besets us. Everybody, whether it's your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's boat, or your neighbor's money, or whatever belongs to your neighbor, we go, "Well, I'd like that. That's nice. I'd like to have that." It's lust. The sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By the way, authors write books, don't they? Our faith is here and nowhere else. And you tell that to your family members, and you tell that to the people on Facebook. You're not trying to be hateful. You're not trying to be mean. You're not trying to be ugly. You're not trying to be Steven Anderson. You're not trying to be Westboro Baptist Church. You're trying to be a sinner saved by the grace of God, realizing that even your own sins are wrong in the eyes of God. But you have to follow the faith of the author who wrote the Bible. You have to do that because your eternal life counts on it. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And where is it? Donna, you wrote in asking us to pray for your grandson, who did what? He contradicted grandma. And I'm telling you, you are going to have a contradiction of sinners against you and against your stand. You don't have to be ignorant with them. You don't have to be mean and rude to people. You don't have to do that. Some of you like it and think you justified. Well, I'm right on God's side. you don't have to be. They'll leave you, even if you're nice about it. And they will contradict you. And if you will endure that kind of contradictions, don't be weary and don't faint in your minds. You say, Pastor, you're saying that. It sounds right. Amen. I receive it. I still cry because my own family, my own people have turned to this wickedness and I don't know what to do. You know what I'm going to tell you to do? Pray and think Bible. Pray and think Bible. Pray and think Bible. Pray and read your Bible. Read the book that the author wrote. Read your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And run that race with patience, which means nobody who runs a marathon treats it like it's a 50-yard sprint. You're not trying to get there first. You're just trying to get there. Amen? Let's run that race with patience, people. We're the cloud of witnesses. So, think about it. And it's just think about the symbolism of it. Think about the symbolism of it. Christ has a cloud of witnesses. That's us. Here's the Antichrist cloud of witnesses. That's Grace Point Church. And I want to tell you something. I don't know these people. I don't know their pastor other than what he said. According to the scriptures, this man is reprobate, and it seems like that his mind and his conscience has been seared with a hot iron. And these people who fall for that and who follow after this stuff, that's Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. They're right in with the pride thing. This is the cloud of witnesses that the Antichrist is going to appear in. Makes sense, doesn't it? We're getting there, people. We're getting there very rapidly and very quickly. All right, now look at this. I saw this today for the first time. I've read this, I don't know how many times. I saw this today for the first time. The idea of, just to set this up, remember, Jesus is clothed in the cloud. He's clothed with it in the rainbow, God's glory. So can you think of a story in the Bible that's up on the screen about somebody who was clothed by their father with their own glory because they were the favored son? Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. Here's Jesus wearing the rainbow cloud coat. Somebody say amen. It's neat. You're not just stuck with reading the book of Revelation and trying to understand what's going to happen in the last days. Just do what God told me. Mike, God, you want me to read Revelation or Daniel first? Mike, just open the book. Open that book. Start reading. Search it. You're going to see that my coming and my working is there in every page and every story. And that's when God really started opening my eyes to Bible typology. If God says it, there's a picture of it. If God prophesies it, there's already an event happened in Bible history that shows it. So that we don't go, well, I wonder what that's going to look like. Look at this. And here's the thing. I think through these types and shadows, God is showing, and this is actually biblical. In Hebrews, you see the word shadow. How's it referred to? In Hebrews, the word shadow is referred to the earthly tabernacle and the priests and all the furniture that was in there and everything like that. That was a shadow of heavenly things. He's telling you that these things that we see on the earth are pictures of what goes on in the spiritual world. You and I cannot see spirits with our natural eyes. We can't do it. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here with me and with you, but we can't see it. But we know it's there. When we open our Bibles, those are our glasses now that see into the spiritual world. And now we see spirits. You want to see some of these devils? Look at dogs. Look at caterpillars. Look at locusts. Look at serpents. Look at foxes. Look at ravening lions and wolves. And satyrs and unicorns. You want to see devils? look in your Bible and understand, get a little knowledge on how animals do things. Birds of the air, eagles, and things like that. That's God opening your eyes to the spiritual world to show you how they operate, how they work, how they run. And here we have a story, a type, a shadow of things to come. And we have a picture of God clothing his son in his glory. And Jesus in John 17, Father, glorify me with the glory that we had before the world was. You see, because they stripped Jesus of his glory. And you look here in Genesis, Joseph's father made him this rainbow cloud garment and put his glory on his son. And in verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They not only stripped it, but verse 32, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And you know what it had on it? Lamb's blood. I think I'm right. Let's go. I got to be sure before I start shouting. Genesis 37. I know that they said to their father that we're going to take this coat, we're going to show it to him, we're going to put blood on it, and we're going to say a beast tore it. Get it? A beast? Let me find this thing where they put it in. They stripped Joseph of his coat. That's verse 23. And let's see here. They're going to sell him. And then Reuben returned to the pit, and Joseph, and he rent his clothes. Verse 31. It was a goat. They took Joseph's coat and killed a goat, a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their fathers. This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and he said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Look at that. But here's what's going on. And you're seeing it right here in your Bible. You're seeing what's going on. You're seeing better than anybody else in the world sees it. You're seeing that they have now stripped the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they've given his coat to another. They've taken his glory away from him, given it to somebody else. And God said, no, that'll never do. That'll never do. I'm not going to put up with that. In Psalm 4, verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? They turned his glory. Look, this is a shame. And they turned God's glory into shame. Romans chapter 1, because that when they, and I preached this Sunday, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory. Look at it is right there. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, which was his rainbow, his bow in the cloud. They changed that into an image made like to who? Corruptible man. Bah, bah, bah. Look at that. This Bible is alive, people. It's right in what it says. They made it like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what they did. They changed the word of God. They changed the Bible into a lie. Oh, we don't read King James anymore. We follow after the message. We do this. You got to see this. You got to see what I'm going to show you here in a minute. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And all of God's people said. Now, watch this. Remember this. Remember in Exodus chapter 16. Do you remember? Remember the number? It was 66. Just like Isaiah, 66 chapters. And they give Jesus the book of Isaiah when he's in the synagogue and he opens the book. He's showing you a picture of him opening the word of God in Revelation chapter 5. It's a foreshadowing of it. Isaiah 66 chapters, the Bible 66 books. And here in the 66th chapter of the Bible, it just so happens that the universal symbol for the word of God comes down from heaven, which is the bread, the manna. And Israel didn't know what it was. They still don't. We do. We know that it was Jesus, the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. At least that's what the King James says. You'll not find that in the other translations. Man shall not live by bread alone. Period. The end. It's over with. And you go, oh, wow. Boy, praise God. Man shall not live by bread alone. You have no idea how you're going to live. But the 66th chapter is the glory of the Lord in the cloud. Are you ready for this one? This is a big one. Do you remember this? Cue the music. Boy, I'm getting a lot of work out of that, ain't I? Look at here. Two hexagons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have two hexagons here. What number? What? Let's see. Let's add this up. Let's see. If we write this down, we put a 6 here and a 6 here. What? That's 66. You remember what prism was about? Remember what it was about? Prism was the program, still is, that the NSA and CIA and all these dark projects, Edward Snowden was a contractor for the NSA, had some sort of clearance, don't know how much he had, ended up copying lots and lots and lots of documents that would make America look very bad, and it has. And Edward Snowden left the country and released many of these documents. He's still got more. We're already finding out that the NSA spied on our allies. Find out this week and last week that we spied on Germany and France, not just on their people, but on their presidents and their treasurers and their high-ranking officials. The United States of America listened to their phone conversations and collected data on them. And that's what, and this was the PRISM program, and this is their logo. And I want you to think about it. The PRISM was all about collecting large amounts of data on just about everything that they possibly could, because knowledge is power. And here is man's effort at acting like God, using this logo with two sixes in it, like the Bible. The Bible. Did you know the Bible knows everything there is to know about you? Did you know that this book has got every day of your life in it? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does. Those of you who know, who have read this book, after something happening in your life, and you see the words right here on the page, you raise your hand. I want to see you. 1, 2, 3, it's like 4,000. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there. That's how it works. I went, Look at that. It clicked. And I did a video on this. Never saw that imagery before until today. Oh, by the way, you headbangers, remember that? We don't need no education. Boom, boom, boom. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Look at their logo. Think of the, you know what this prism is, don't you? You know what that is? That's a pyramid. You know what the pyramids were in the Bible? High places. That's what they were. Here's another one. Masonry has an organization for their daughters called, well, there's one called Job's Daughters, and there's another one called the Rainbow Girls. And they use the image, there's the Masonic handshake, and the Rainbow Girls, and the triangle, and the beautiful, pretty colors coming out, and the Rainbow Girls, basically the royal arch is the rainbow, the gay pride. The New Age movement uses the symbolism of the rainbow, and so on. Interesting world, people, that we live in. I'm just since Friday, I've just become totally stunned at how much is going on and how much of this Bible we're seeing come to light. I've got a few minutes left today. I'm out of material. I very seldom ever do that. You got any comments? Let me know. By the way, did anybody send me 212 degrees? What was that? What was 212 degrees? I don't see that. 212 Fahrenheit. Let's see here. 32 degrees. Aha. Okay. It is the boiling point of, thank you, Lisa. It is the boiling point of water at 212 degrees. Let's read some other emails here. This is from Joe. Joe says, let me look at this picture he sends here. Oh, that's pretty interesting. Joe says, hey, Pastor, I was checking into Mormon rituals and found something very disturbing. Probably already know about this. In the Salt Lake Temple basement, they have 12 bronze cattle with a baptizing bowl on their back. These sick people are filling children with multiple spirits by dipping the kids multiple times to baptize the dead. This satanic thing is supposed to be a replica of Solomon's laver, but it was used to wash the priests after the sacrifices before entering the inner temple. Also, I found heavy use of the bee symbolism. Let's see. Oh, yeah, look at there. Let me pull this up here so that everybody, I want to kind of put this on the screen here. If I do it like this, and I click that, and I'm going to do that there, and then I'll show everybody. Look at this. They're baptized in this, in the Mormon church, and this is a picture of the sea of glass, clear as crystal. 12 oxen underneath it. That was what was in Solomon's temple. And the sea of glass here is where the throne is. This is where the throne of God is. If you read Revelation 4 and Ezekiel 1, that's what this is. So I appreciate you sending that to me. And let's see here. I don't often get to read people's emails, but and somebody named Hap says, I see six colors of the rainbow and that halo over Barack. And you're right. In the gay pride rainbow, there's only six colors. Only six. In a normal rainbow, you would have seven. Now, there's a couple things with that. A regular rainbow is the sunlight lighting through the clouds. I want you to get this, people. We are the cloud of witnesses. And we have the light of God's sun shining through our lives. And what comes out is the image of the sign and the promise of God, Jesus Christ. And we're the cloud. Isn't that beautiful? A rainbow is made by sunlight shining through the water droplets. It's in a cloud. These little water droplets act as a prism. And what they do is they separate the seven bands of color that are in sunlight. There's a video I saw on Facebook the other day. You can stand at certain times of whatever, certain places at Niagara Falls, and you can see an entire circle because there's so much mist there when the sun's shining out. It's beautiful. But anyway, that's what a rainbow is. And think of the symbolism. If we are the cloud of witnesses, we have the light of God's sun shining through us and displaying to the world those seven, which would be parallel to the seven spirits of God, the word of God, and so on and so forth. So in the occult realm, you will have, like in the pride thing, you have six, but even in the New Age movement and so on, they'll use a rainbow of seven colors, and the seven colors represent the seven chakras of Kundalini, you know, the serpent rising up from your bottom up to your head, and the seven little points that it's got to go through, those represent, I think, the seven heads of the beast or the seven heads of the dragon, and so on. I mean, it's just, you just keep going with this, and it's interesting. Debbie writes in and says, when it says in the days of Noah and the animals on the ark, couldn't Noah have taken DNA of some animals, since they must have been doing the same things with DNA that's going on today and in the future? I'm not sure I understand, Debbie. Couldn't Noah have taken DNA of some animals, since they must have been doing the same things with DNA that's going on today and in the future? Oh, I think I get what you're saying. You're postulating a theory that rather than taking whole animals onto the ark, that Noah could have been taking DNA samples of the animals. I think I get that, but I would have to disagree with it. The Bible doesn't mention anything like that. I don't think it even alludes to it. It would just, we understand the plain reading of the Bible. You look in Genesis 6 and 7, and God sent to Noah all these animals, these samples of animal species, clean animals by sevens, unclean animals by twos, and he had enough provender and everything like that for them in the ark and so on and so forth. After the flood is done and the ark is sitting on the mountains of Ararat, and God opens the door, all the animals walk off of the ark and they spread out and repopulate the earth. The Bible doesn't give us any idea about a lab being set up or anything like that to reconstitute the beasts. Okay? Tamitha sends an email, says, here's a link to a Shepherdsville, Kentucky church Facebook page. Their symbol is a rainbow through a prism. Let me pull this up here and take a look at it. Holy Chapel. Boy, you're right on that. Let me bring it over here. Did that work? Yeah, there we go. That way you can see it. Here's the Holy Chapel of God. Get my face out of the way. Holy Chapel of God Church in Kentucky, Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Appreciate you sending that in. Here's Reg. It says about Joseph's coat of many colors. Pastor Mike, I just thought of this. The blood on Joseph's coat was goat blood. Could this be symbolically connected to the coming judgment when sheep and goats are to be separated? Reg, I think so. I absolutely think so. I think there's a connection there. And what we're going to do is we're going to look in the scriptures more. Everything that I do, when I'm sitting here in front of this camera microphone, I want you to look at your Bible and go, I didn't know all that was in there. And I want you to go and find some more. My wife has been wanting me to go to There's a diamond national park down in Arkansas. She wants me to take her down there so she can dig for diamonds. There was a woman down there that within 2 minutes, she got into a shady part and she dug in the ground and she found this humongous diamond. It's worth, I don't know how much money. Made big news all over. Lisa's reading this going, I want to go down there. Open that book up. You'll never know what you're going to find. Okay. You'll never know what's in there until you read it. Ask God to show it to you, all right? Boy, I've had fun today. I've had fun. I hate this world. I love Jesus. Ready for him to come back. God bless you. We'll see you.